Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this weekend, Denver Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning announced his retirement in an emotional press conference.
Well, I fought a good fight. I finished my football race, and after 18 years, it's time. God bless all of you, and God bless football.
Well, here to talk about Manning's retirement and his legacy is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi there, Bill.
Hello, Meghna.
Did you feel as emotional as Peyton Manning did?
No.
Why not?
Oh, short answer.
Come on, he's had a great career.
No, I hope God does bless football and all the football players and that we can put a stop to CTE and go forward from there. But
okay.
Peyton Manning was a great quarterback, and I wish him a wonderful life post-football.
So what do you think his legacy is going to be?
Well, part of his legacy will get fairly shortly when he's elected to the Hall of Fame, which he most certainly will be. He was tremendously successful at what he did. He won a couple of Super Bowls, one with one team, one with another, Indiana, and then with Denver. And, of course, he had a magnificent appearance on Saturday Night Live, hitting a kid in the back of the head with a football and saying, "What the hell's the matter with you? You can't catch the ball."
Well, our crack staff here at Radio Boston has dug up some Manning stats for me. Apparently, he walks away with the most passing touchdowns, most passing touchdowns, most passing yards, most victories as a starting quarterback, most MVP awards.
Well, it's Hall of Fame.
Okay, so you're going to miss him?
Without a doubt, first ballot. Well, you know what, the great thing about sports, of course, fans of Peyton Manning will miss him, and fans of elegant quarterbacking will miss him. I think one of the great things about sports is that they all are replaceable in strange ways. I remember thinking as a much younger man that there would be no point in Major League Baseball continuing after Willie Mays retired.
Yeah.
But by golly, it did.
Sports always finds a way.
It's coming through.
All right. Well, let's talk about another emotional press conference that happened this week. This one out of the world of tennis. Maria Sharapova held a press conference, and she made this announcement on Monday.
I wanted to let you know that a few days ago I received a letter from the ITF that I had failed a drug test at the Australian Open. I did fail the test, and I take full responsibility for it.
So interesting, Bill. Apparently, the test that Sharapova tested positive for was a heart medication that aids oxygen uptake and endurance. What do you make of this?
Well, I don't know what to make of this. I think this is one of these stories that will not really be clear for some time because it's already changed, been very mercurial even in the few days that we've been aware of it. This is apparently a medication that people take for 4 to 6 weeks for circulation problems and heart problems, and she's been taking it, she says now, on and off for 9 or 10 years, which some medical people are saying is rather odd. And I think the only thing I can say at this point is she seems to be upfront about it. I mean, she is acknowledging. She's not one of those people who's saying they must have gotten the wrong sample or, somehow the testers have goofed.
Yeah.
She's at least been upfront about it.
And, she's also saying that she was taking it for medical reasons and not for performance.
Yeah, and this, of course, is one of the things that has come up lots of times in lots of different sports. The example that jumps to mind is the Major League Baseball players who've taken medication for ADHD, which is a perfectly legitimate condition for which to have a prescription. But if you don't have the condition for which the drug is prescribed, some people say it helps you to be a better baseball player, not in the way that it would improve your muscle tone or cause you to grow bigger arms or legs, but that it would somehow enhance your concentration or your ability to do your job.
Well, we'll see how this story rolls along in the coming days and weeks, because obviously there's more to be said about Sharapova. But before we run out of time with you, Bill, I want to get local here and to some happy news. The BC women's hockey team, unstoppable.
Yeah, I've looked at some statistics myself on that one. They're scoring an average of 5.4 goals a game and giving up an average of 1.2, which is what enables them to win games by scores like 8-0, 7-0, and 9-1.
Good.
So, yes, they are without doubt the number one seed in the country going into the tournament.
38-0,
and we wish them the best going forward. It's a stats worthy of the UConn women's basketball team of yore, and actually of present as well. So, yeah, fantastic, and great that that attention is being paid, because, of course, women's ice hockey at the college level is still a relatively young sport, and it's great to see this happening.
Gosh, well, the BC women's hockey team schooling the rest of the NCAA. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, he joins us here on Radio Boston on Wednesdays, but you can hear Only a Game, of course, on WBUR Saturdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna. Pleasure as always.